Hello there, and welcome to another program in the series Common Sense Political Correctness. Today, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or as they have been nicknamed by many people, People for Eating Tasty Animals, PETA, the animal rights organization that puts down animals more than any others. PETA hypocrisy, coming up next. Well, there isn't any doubt that at some point, while you're going through social media, you will see a video from PETA, or some type of meme or photograph or whatever it is. Now, what's interesting about PETA is, first of all, their uses of images are sometimes, I can understand them trying to make a point, right? But sometimes they're just plain disgusting. A few years ago, PETA equaled those who were in Auschwitz in the Holocaust to cattle. That's exactly what they did. They even put the two pictures side by side. And it wasn't just one picture that they took that was a Holocaust picture. No. They'd actually used a few. And they equaled that to keeping cattle. Now, the only thing I can say about PETA using that is you're really disgusting. Really, really disgusting. PETA has become one of these social justice organizations that is really, how would I put it? Well, I like to call them animal Nazis, especially their leader, Ingrid Newkirk. Now, she is certainly not a Hitler, and we live in this world now where everybody likes comparing all kinds of bad people to Hitler. Well, put it this way, there was only one Hitler, right? There has never been another Hitler since then. But Ingrid Newkirk is very Hitler-esque in some ways. I'm not talking about the mass killings, but we'll get on that in a second. I'm talking about the way that she talks to people. Now, we see this, of course, with politicians. Politicians who don't like something or a question that is being asked of them, they just shut it down or ban the media entirely. Ingrid Newkirk does exactly the same thing. She doesn't like being confronted on a number of issues that have been raised with PETA before. Now, PETA's organization, located in the United States, they do have chapters, of course, around the world, is, by all intents and purposes, even though, of course, they will not admit to it, but if you look at some of their activity and look at some of the statements that they have put out just in the last 15, 20 years, you will know that they don't condone violence. They will not condone violence. Ingrid Newkirk, head of PETA and founder of PETA, has been asked this question a number of times and has never condoned any type of violence. PETA talks about saving animals. Well, let's look at the positive side. Actually, they do. They do. They do save animals. But compared to any other animal shelters in the United States and in other countries, PETA puts down more animals than many of the other animal shelters combined. Hypocrisy. Absolute hypocrisy. A few years ago, someone from PETA was in the United Kingdom and was asked this exact question. Now, this is what I like to call an answer non-answer. But first, let's listen to the question that was asked of him.
Mr. Butler, I saw a television show that documented the presence of a huge freezer at PETA's Norfolk, Virginia headquarters. The report said it was used to house thousands of carcasses of animals PETA has killed. They estimated that PETA kills about two-thirds of the animals that it rescues. Even your founder, Ingrid Newkirk, said that sometimes the best thing to do is to put an animal to sleep forever. I'm confused. You oppose me having a pet, but you keep your companion animals. You oppose animal medical research, yet Peter employs the use of insulin that's used in such researches. You say you protect animals, yet you kill them. Isn't this an extraordinary hypocrisy?
We need to look at the underlying cause of euthanizing animals in our society, which no one wants to do. You say that we are opposed to you keeping a pet. What we are opposed to is the massive overpopulation of cats and dogs around the world, animals who do not have a decent home. There are not enough good homes to house the enormous number of animals who are bred on puppy mills.
But taking my point, are there animals that are euthanized by Peter?
Absolutely. Where else are there for these animals to go? It's a terrible situation and something that people who care about animals would never willingly want to do. But when you have thousands upon thousands of animals with nowhere to go, with no homes, with no one to look after them, and we have domesticated animals over thousands of years. They are now our responsibility, and it is up to us to ensure that they have the best life possible.
You know, he said thousands of thousands. I went to the state of Virginia and pulled the records on exactly how many animals PETA killed. You know what the state of Virginia records? They killed 10,000 animals at PETA. That's 85% of the animals they took in.
Let's right work harder than at spay and neuter programs.
Right down the street at the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, they found homes for 73% of the animals they took in. When we hunt, they call it murder. But when they kill animals, they call it putting them to sleep forever.
Let's just have...
Exactly. Exactly the point. PETA is a dangerous organization. Now, they actually do some good. I'm not complaining about that, but the bad they do far outweighs the good they do. The interesting thing about PETA, and it was brought up actually in that clip that we just aired. We'll talk about insulin for a minute. Now, insulin, of course, was discovered from testing on animals. We know that. But yet, one of the key people at PETA has to use insulin and uses it, but yet they're against medical research. So which is it? Hypocrisy. That's what it is. Hypocrisy. The world would be a much better place if organizations like PETA would just vanish completely. And you think about the hypocrisy that actually goes on in the organization itself. Ingrid Newkirk, a real fine piece of work. The biggest hypocrite for the protection of animals that you could ever come across. Every time that she is interviewed, she likes using the what about argument that, of course, we see all the time with politicians. She is really a politician. Now, this woman is not accountable. PETA is not accountable. The good thing, however, is that because they are, quote, a nonprofit organization, they do have to make their records known. That's how people have known how many animals PETA puts down and purchases that they made, because they are a nonprofit organization. But they lie constantly. I wouldn't trust them for 1 minute. Now, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned Hitler, right? Hitler's a very nasty man, was a very nasty man, evil, and any other word that you can think of. But for some reason, if Hitler was still alive today, I would trust him more than I would Ingrid Newkirk. At least with Hitler, you know where you stood. You knew that the guy was evil. It was there. Ingrid Newkirk, on the other hand, goes on television, all smiles, comes across as Little Miss Goody Two Shoes, but she's a bitch. A real evil bitch. Not a good bitch, because bitches can be good too, but she's an evil bitch. Evil beyond evil. And Peter, for her, is just a way to, well, control people and to make money. I think an investigation should be done on how much money this woman skims off the top of Peter. Now, I'm not saying that she does that, but it would be an interesting thing to find out if she is doing that. Huh? Now, many times in the past, journalists have actually tried to find out if Ingrid Newkirk is skimming off the top. But it's a little bit more tricky to find out her personal finances to the finances of the organization itself. But I think we should actually start looking at that. Now, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They complain about people owning pets. They're totally against it. They're also against, say, working dogs. Dogs, Labradors, and Golden Retrievers that help the blind. But let me ask this question, which has been asked to them before, and they don't seem to have an answer. Okay, you know what? You say, right. As of today, this very moment, okay, no more seeing eye dogs for the blind. Then, fine, okay, we'll do that, and what's your solution? The response will normally be, but it's always their response for these kind of questions. It is not our job to come up with a resolution. Typical. Absolutely typical. The typical BS that these people spew out of their cake holes is incredible. It's not our job to come up with a solution. A few years ago, there was a documentary that came out about Japan whale hunting and dolphin hunting. Now, I am actually opposed to it. I should stress that right now, right? Because it absolutely serves no purpose. If they're going to hunt one or two for scientific research, yes, that actually makes sense. But for selling these animals to freak shows or for whatever reason, doesn't make sense at all. And I'm totally opposed to that. Now, in the communities in Japan where this kind of hunting takes place, it's something that's been going on there for many years. Many, many, many years. If you ask organizations like PETA and others that are against it, and actually I'm with them on that. I have to be honest, I am with them on that. But this is where I lose them completely. If you ask them, well, then what is the solution for the livelihoods of the people in those communities that rely on the money made from the capture and sale of these animals? How do you think they respond? Any ideas? It's usually the same thing. It is not our job to come up with a solution for those people. When you turn on them and say, okay, wait a minute, so you want to take their livelihoods away, even though I'm not in fully agreement with it, but there has to be a backup plan, you're willing to go in, take their livelihoods away, and then say it's not your job to come up with a solution. BS. Those are the two letters that I think of immediately when I think of PETA. Now, what about PETA going around and taking stray animals? Well, they do that too. They also take animals from people's homes.
A Chihuahua named Maya who was stolen from Wilbur Sarate's front porch on October 18th, 2014. Wilbur went to buy a bed for his dog that he had just given a bath to, and she didn't have a collar on. PETA was in the neighborhood, they were gathering up dogs, and what they didn't know is that he had surveillance cameras set up and caught them stealing his dog.
I asked her, what happened, Maya, where is it? Sorry, but we killed Maya. Yeah, we put to sleep Maya, she said.
What was their apology? A fruit basket.
PETA waited 4 months until the government took punitive action against them for the murder of a man's dog. And the punitive action was in the form of a $500 fine because they didn't wait 4 days to euthanize the dog.
This is my dog right here. If PETA would have taken her off our front porch, I wouldn't have called the cops. I would have got justice myself.
Absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. Now, just to show you how mad these people are, okay? Now, I have three dogs myself. Three dogs. Ginger, Schoolboy, and Stan. The names actually are kind of fit their personalities. Ginger, well, she's a Labrador, and that's kind of her color. Schoolboy, big dog, like a naughty schoolboy. Likes to bite people, too. Well, only strangers and people that he doesn't like. And Stan, he's a little schmaltz of a dog, tiny little thing, and likes to yap at the big ones who then try to put him in his place. Along with them are four cats. Sherlock, I call him Sherlock because of one of his eyes, a little like Sherlock Holmes. Scrappy, because he likes to fight. Samba, that's a long story in itself, and it doesn't mean samba like dancing the samba, but sam as in three and ba as in eight in Chinese. And then Shimano, which is the name of a well-known bicycle parts manufacturer. That's a whole other story in itself, which I'm not going to get into today. Now, imagine if one of them, right, I left my phone open, right, phone's open, and they accidentally hit the take a picture mode and took a selfie or a picture. Do you think, let me ask you, do you think that they should own the copyright to that picture? Well, of course not. Any sane person can see that. But apparently PETA believes otherwise. Now, this sounds like something that, well, this is like a Monty Python sketch, actually. But there was a primate. A well-known nature photographer left his camera. The primate picked it up and actually took a selfie. You've probably seen the selfie online. If you go and do a Google search, you will find it. PETA tried to sue the photographer on behalf of the primate for copyright. Now, if you think this is complete nonsense, the first time I heard it, I actually couldn't believe that an organization would go so far. But they did. Here's the exchange from Good Morning Britain.
All of that creativity around this situation which led to this photograph was about you. So, Lisa, why did your charity decide to fight a battle with the photographer responsible, ultimately, for the photograph? Why fight it on behalf of an animal who couldn't care less?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, I think it's important to point out that U.S. copyright law is quite clear on this point. It doesn't matter who owns the camera or who owns the smartphone. It's the individual who presses the button who maintains that copyright.
That applies to human beings.
There's actually nothing in the law that specifies the species.
How can a monkey possibly have any desire for copyright over a picture when he's been handed a camera by a human being? Explain to me.
Well, here's the thing, and we've reached a settlement, PETA and David have, and one that we're both quite happy about, because as part of the settlement, a portion of future proceeds of the image will go to protect Naruto and his community.
But he was giving these monkeys the most extraordinary global attention
through
the
absolutely.
Brilliant creativity of his photographs.
Their numbers are dwindling, they've decreased by 90%.
He brought global attention to it through his pictures. Your reward for him doing this was to try and destroy him.
And now, they will receive, and they will benefit from this copyright.
Have you told Naruto the good news?
I don't know if it's been passed.
You were representing Naruto, right? Have you told Naruto the good news that he won the copyright action?
I personally have not.
Has anybody from Pizza told Naruto the good news?
I can say that he will most certainly benefit from the proceeds.
But has he been told the good news that he got copyright?
You know what? I honestly do not know.
You don't know? So you fight a whole legal battle. Although we're laughing, it's a serious point because you caused this guy huge financial hardship. What I want to know is, you fought this battle on behalf of a monkey, right? Does the monkey now know what's happened? Has anybody had that conversation with the monkey? Because you're treating the monkey like a human being. So have you gone up to him and gone, and does he understand that means we fought a lengthy, very expensive battle because we've got nothing better to do all day?
Like I said, we don't speak monkey. The monkey doesn't speak
English.
So how
does he know what happened then?
But he will benefit from this copyright.
He was benefiting anyway from the global attention this brilliant photographer brought with his brilliant images. Why did you not need to poke your noses in and try and destroy this guy when he was already doing a valuable job for these animals? I don't get it. Seems like the most senseless waste of time in history.
This case, had it been successful, would have been the first time that an animal would have been granted an owner of property rather than being seen as a piece of property. That's how the law, that's how much of society currently sees animals as things. And so all we're asking is that maybe animals should own property. I'm not talking about condos.
Houses, cars,
I'm not talking about condos. I'm not talking
about Naruto going to be driving a Ferrari around.
I am talking about owning their natural habitats because, of course, they have as much right to
it. Lisa, with the greatest respect, Peter does a lot of good things, right?
Thank you.
I've covered a lot of stuff with Peter over the years. A lot of it I completely
People for the ethical treatment of animals.
Right, and a lot of people would agree with a lot of the stuff that you do. When you do something like this, it's so ridiculous that even as you're saying it, you can't stop laughing because it's so ridiculous. But it's actually not a laughing matter for this guy, who's a brilliant photographer, who immersed himself in this world, who showed the world these monkeys.
And we've always maintained that win or lose, this case really pushes the envelopes, it pushes the bounds
of how society views animals. You know it's a. You know it sounds ridiculous.
We see animals, society and the law sees animals as things. And that means that right now it's perfectly acceptable to force feed pesticides to dogs in labs,
to whip lions in the circus.
And all of these horrible things will continue so long as animals are seen as property.
If you were battling that kind of thing, we'd all be supporting you. Of course we would. But you're battling for the right of a monkey to have copyright over a picture that he set up with his camera holding his tripod. It is a complete waste of everybody's time.
I'm really worried now. What happens if I put my GoPro camera in my fish tank? Does that mean, well, if my fish flip the shutter with their tail, they own the copyrights of the picture? This is absolute madness. As Piers Morgan actually pointed out there, you know, Pete actually does a lot of good. But the good work they do gets overshadowed by their madness and their hypocrisy. And you are listening to Common Sense Political Correctness here from PCJ Radio International. Now, if you think it's only organizations like PETA that are completely nuts. No, you'll find it among many other animal rights activists, like environmentalists or environmental Nazis. But we're going to talk about that on another program. But they are completely loony. Here's another good example of how mad these people are. Have you heard of the name Joey Carbstrong? Well, he's an Aussie. Usually, Aussies are very well-balanced people. But this one, completely on another planet. He was also on Good Morning Britain with celebrity chef Anthony Worrall Thompson, debating whether or not consuming milk and other dairy products is murder for cows. Yes, you heard me correct. Is milk murder for cows?
50% of the cow flesh in this country comes from spent dairy cows. So all of the animals in the dairy industry will end up at a slaughterhouse. So they'll be killed against their will.
So a sort of efficient use of those animals then?
It doesn't make it moral whether it's an efficient use of an animal. If we were talking about dogs in those slaughterhouses, we'd never say that that's moral.
But we have a completely different view, don't we, towards our domestic animals than we do,
we do.
To our farm
we do.
Animals.
We care about our dogs and cats at home, but we'd never subject them to the abuse that we do to cows.
Yeah, but Jerry, this is the food chain. You know, the spider eats the fly, the cat eats the mouse. You know, a tiger would eat us if we got in its way. That is what's been going on for 8,000 years. We've been drinking milk.
Exactly,
that's true. We, our bodies are actually mutated to produce an enzyme called lactase, which allows lactose, which is the sugar in milk, to be digested by our gut. So our bodies
most
are actually,
human beings are actually lactose intolerant. And to say it's the food chain...
Europeans and Americans. Yes, China and Japan. Yeah, they are lactose intolerant, but that's not part of their diet. It's not
you
part
made
of their
a point
culture.
About a food chain. In the environment... Animals eat out of necessity. They eat each other out of necessity. We have alternatives now. 30 different plant-based milks in the supermarket. But where does calcium come from? Plants, originally. How does the cow get the calcium in their body? Plants. We can get calcium from plants.
Yeah,
what have you got against,
what
have you got against plants? Plants are living things.
They're not sentient. They don't have a central
How
nervous
do you know?
System. Do you think stabbing a puppy dog in the throat is the same as cutting up a carrot?
How do you know what plants feel?
Because they don't have a brain or,
do you accept,
or a central
do you accept
nervous
they're
system.
Living things?
They're living, but they're not sentient.
You don't mind slaughtering... living plants.
Yes, I
because
think
they don't feel
argument,
pain.
That argument's really
if you're
weak.
In hospital and you're paralysed, what do they call you? A vegetable.
You think a lot of people might be tempted to take up a more vegan-based diet.
Yeah.
But they hate this kind of vegan terrorism that's going on.
Take the vegans out of the picture.
Milk is murder.
Take the vegans out of the picture.
That's a stupid thing to say.
It's about the animals. Are you against animal cruelty?
I'm against animal cruelty.
Of course. It's not cruel to bolt
I'm against human cruelty.
Me too. I don't kill kill humans either. But to kill animals for a product we don't need... is cruel.
You have every right to be a vegan, as I have every right to be a meat eater. And you can do that, but please don't thrust the message down everyone's throats that we all have to change to veganism.
The only beings
totally
who are being thrusted are the animals who are being forced into slaughterhouses for an unnecessary reason. You just said that you're against animal cruelty, so this is your belief.
But animal welfare standards mean that we are supposed and expected to treat those animals well, and unfortunately, as part of the natural human food chain, we do eat animals.
It's
we just
natural.
Don't chase them down and kill them anymore.
What happens in nature is not moral. Lions kill out of necessity. Just because animals kill in nature because they have to doesn't make it moral. There's a difference between what's natural
so
and what's moral.
So if the cows weren't taken to slaughterhouses but just stayed in fields and were milked that way, you'd have no problem with it.
If the cows were left alone and stopped being forcibly impregnated so we have this
population... My question is, if they were just in the fields and they were milked every day and they weren't...
Would
you be fine with that?
We shouldn't be exploiting animals, period.
Right, so your issue is not really about milk, is it? Your issue is just anything to do with animals you've got a problem with, right?
Using animals and viewing them as products is a moral issue.
Well, what is wrong with a cow being milked for milk?
It's unnecessary.
Why
do you need breast milk?
Joey, it's not
breast milk from a cow? You're not a baby cow, bro.
You don't believe in harming other human beings?
I don't believe in harming other human beings or animals, no.
So in September 2011, you were arrested when police found a loaded, sawn-off, pump-action
rifle. Oh, a character attack.
No, a
Has
fact.
This got anything to do
a
with
fact.
The topic at hand?
Well, you were, okay. It's
a character attack
it's called a
on
fact.
My part.
It's called a fact.
Okay.
Were you found with a pump-action rifle down your trousers?
Would this be relevant if I was speaking up against dog abuse or child abuse?
I'm asking you a question. Is that true?
It's true. I was incarcerated for something I did in my
Police
past.
Police found 29 bullets, right, as well, and a flick knife,
This
right?
is no way to have a debate on
Here,
dairy.
Here, everyone makes mistakes.
Wait a minute.
This is
a character attack. I'm simply asking a question.
Okay.
You didn't expect to be defending him, did you, Andrew?
Your intention with the bullets and the rifle and the flick knife to cause harm to human beings?
Okay, let me answer that.
Yes
I used to
no?
consume animal products 3 times a day as well, so I was harming animals and humans,
right.
Okay? But I changed my life around and now I'm vegan. Now, just because I did something wrong in the past doesn't mean I can't do something right now. How does that justify your abuse of dairy cows so you can have milk in your coffee?
It seems to me you were a pretty violent guy. Right?
I used to be.
Yeah. And, a pretty voracious
and you can't turn your life around and do something good for
exactly.
animals?
Everyone is entitled. Piers, leave them alone.
Let him go. I want to see.
You are entitled to it. And again, I come back to this.
What have I done wrong
now? I realise that veganism, it's not my thing, but I realise it's a growing thing.
It is.
It's not your thing?
My problem is this kind of vegan terrorism that goes on.
He's against animal cruelty.
Everyone that drinks milk, according to you, is a murderer.
No, not consciously. They don't know. But now you know what happens to animals in slaughterhouses so you can have milk in your coffee. And what are you going to do about it?
A lot of cows that get milk don't go to slaughterhouses.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
You don't know nothing about the industry, my friend.
Do you renounce... I mean, you've talked about the fact it's unfair to launch a personal attack on you because of your past, but do you renounce all violence against, for instance, the farming industry or butcher shops?
I've never advocated for violence to spread a peaceful message.
So any anything of
I've
the
said,
attacks...
Anything I've said in the past, I've changed my advocacy. When I first went vegan, I was quite angry about what was happening to animals, and rightly so. If they were dogs, you could see the anger that majority
so
of the
in March 2016, right,
yeah.
when alongside the video entitled Ethical Hunters Deserve a Bullet in the Head, yeah. you wrote, I hope one of these bleeps accidentally shoot one of their own family members in the face.
Keyword,
that was 2 years ago.
2016,
2 years
when
ago.
I first went vegan and I seen people hunting innocent right. animals. If they were hunting dogs, have you ever seen dog cruelty videos in
but
the comments
But you just
section?
Said you renounce violence, so you...
Right now.
You wouldn't say
this
that...
This is 2018. Yeah. I've changed recently. My advocacy.
Really? Well, let me just pour a little bit of murder in my coffee right now. I taste it. Mmm, that's what murder tastes like. You see, these people are completely bonkers. They really don't understand the idea of what's called the food chain. Now, at the beginning of the program, we talked about PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. vegans are another group which are completely bonkers in themselves. They don't believe in the live and let live. Now, if you want to be vegan, I personally don't care. I honestly don't care at all. But don't tell me what I can eat and what I can't drink. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. Now, you can hear my dogs barking in the background. You see, they're also angry as well. I was kind of hoping that they would actually bark at some point. And perhaps they will again. They do it on cue, actually. Completely on cue. Now, let's move on to what I talked about at the beginning about PETA being against guide dogs. Now, there are hundreds of thousands of people around the world who are blind that actually have assistance dogs. These are working dogs that help the disabled. Okay? There are countless and countless police forces around the world that use dogs for sniffing purposes at airports, for security purposes. Dogs in the military who actually even have rankings such as private and sergeant. There are people such as animal welfare campaigner Wendy Turner Webster who thinks we have to stop all this. Okay, let's listen to the debate that she had on Good Morning Britain with Nigel Reed, who's a dog behaviorist.
You want to get rid of guide dogs, sniffer and bomb disposal dogs, police dogs, working sheep dogs, all dogs.
What's going to happen to these dogs?
Yes, no, not really. That's quite a broad sweep of...
But they all fall under your umbrella of dogs that have not given consent do highly valuable work. I mean, that is your all-encompassing role, right?
Well, my point is that, I'm very uncomfortable with the idea that we use animals. You know, we've used animals for a long time and back, you know, war horses and pigeons and dogs in rockets and things like that. And I want to get away from the fact of us using animals for our benefit, use being the operative word. But
dogs are unhappy? Do you think that guide dog is unhappy doing what it's
doing? No, I don't think that at all. And I actually, feel that, they're not unhappy, and
so
it's not actually being cruel in the way of vivisection is cruel, halal meat is cruel.
Because you say that when we're using them without their consent and that we actually using them, that it suggests that they're doing something that they're being coerced or forced to do that would make them miserable, but that's clearly not the case.
There's a big difference between a guide dog and a dog that has been forced into a dangerous situation. You know, like a police dog or
so you don't want to ban guide dogs, you want to ban bomb disposal sniffer dogs.
Yeah, and I don't actually want to ban guide dogs. I actually feel that there's a couple of issues with the welfare of them. But actually, apart from that, for the human benefit, I think that surely some kind of modern technology can take over and benefit every blind person, because at the moment, a dog does not suit every blind
what's
person.
What are your welfare issues with guide dogs?
The welfare issues are probably twofold. The first is that they are bred specifically for the programme, and the 25%, I think I'm right in saying 25% of them that don't make the grade, those pups then have to be rehomed. And they're going into a system which is already bursting full of dogs that need to find a new home. So that's overloading the rehoming problem. The other thing is the concern as to what happens when the dog isn't working and retired. Not every guide dog owner can keep that dog.
So your issue isn't it with the guide dogs which are working as guide dogs without consent, as you say, it's with all the guide dogs which are not working as guide dogs. That doesn't make any sense.
It's the whole welfare issue around it, and also the waiting list. I spoke to a lady the other day, the waiting list, she says I'm on a waiting list for a year and a half for a guide dog. So obviously something's going wrong.
So we need more guide dogs.
No, we need new technology so that every visually impaired
So there's not enough guide dogs, but there's too many guide dogs. I've lost it. Nigel.
It's simple.
So what's the answer, Nigel, to this?
I think there's a great answer and it's already in place. I mean, technology would be great if it were there, but it just isn't there. So at the moment, it's the best thing, but it isn't. Mm. So, at the moment, what we've got in place is amazing organisations training up these dogs, working so many hours a week to get these dogs well-behaved. And the guide dogs only work about a few hours a day. Mm. So all the other dogs are on the dole. These dogs are happy. These dogs are working. Mm. And it's really lovely to see. And on that video, the partnership of that lady and the dog, there's so many amazing partnerships and beautiful stories that are created from these services.
But what about when the dog retires and it can't stay with the owner because the owner wants another guide dog, maybe? There's no room in the house for the original guide dog.
There's loads of things that happen. Some of the dogs stay with the owner as a pet. Yeah. Sometimes they're rehomed with family members. Mm. Sometimes they're back with the people who looked after them when they were puppies. But what the Guide Dog Association, in this instance, always finds a loving home for the dog. That's their
Wendy,
number
do you have
one.
A dog?
Yes, I do. What dog have you got?
What is that dog?
She is a rescue dog from Porster Rescue, and I found her in Bucharest about to be killed.
Right. And have you trained your dog?
Well, not excessively.
Have you tried to train your dog?
Only to sit.
Did you get consent for that? I'm serious.
A lot of it's for her safety as well.
But did you get the dog's consent? Your dog's consent to obey your human orders?
Cruelty.
What?
I'm not bothered about that.
You're talking about consent. You have a big issue with dogs consenting. My argument is everybody in the world trains their dog.
But to be put in a dangerous situation.
You trained your dog to sit without getting any consent from that dog.
No, you're just making a big sweeping statement because...
I'm exposing the hypocrisy of your statement.
No, you're not at all because...
Do you ride horses?
Dogs who are put...
Do you ride horses?
Dogs who are...
Do you ride horses?
No. Dogs.
Have you ever ridden horses?
Yes.
Right.
But I plod through a forest.
Did you get the horse's consent?
In a dangerous situation.
Did you get your horse's consent to ride through the forest?
You're totally off the argument.
Did you ask the question? Answer the question.
No, you're completely off the argument.
Did you ask your horse's consent to ride through the forest?
Well, seeing as he doesn't speak
human, clambered on top of your horse, right? And you charged along on top of it without any consent.
In potentially dangerous situations, to be fair, to that horse.
No, because I'm a responsible rider and responsible dog owner.
Oh, so because you're responsible, then it's fine to not get consent?
No, you're really, really mixing up the issue.
Am I? You said it's about consent.
It's partly about consent.
So if it's partly about consent...
There's a big issue around it.
Partly about consent, unless it's your animals... And you're riding them or you're ordering them to do things, in which case consent goes out the window because you, Wendy, have decided you know better than the animal and they don't need to give you their consent.
Well, I know when or not I'm putting my animal or any animal in a potentially dangerous or vulnerable situation.
Right, so because you're a sort of saintly figure when it comes to your animal ownership, we should all relax. Yeah?
Maybe.
Nigel, does Wendy have a point about animals which are genuinely in very dangerous situations, in war zones, for example?
Yes, but what is the alternative again? And if there is an alternative, like machines, which they do get to go in there, then fantastic. Mm. And I think they would rather do that, but it's about a cost thing. So,
but again, it's cost as opposed to a sentient being.
Oh, blind. You know what, Wendy? Why don't we just let guide dogs do their fabulous work for people who are blind and rely on them and can then get out and about because of their guide dogs? The guide dogs always look happy to me. The people that they're helping look happy to me.
They seem to thrive on it.
Why don't you just continue riding your horse without its consent?
Telling your dog what to do without its consent.
And leave people who are blind to have the dogs that help them.
I want everyone who is blind to be able to be guided, and I think the future of that is in developing technology.
All right.
See what I mean? There is a lot of hypocrisy in what she was just saying. Now, it is true. It is true that even today, animals are tested on with new medical advances. There are some techniques, of course, that were done maybe 30 years ago that they no longer need to use animals for because there are other means. But there's still certain things that, well, guess what, folks? We still need to do animal testings with. Now, one aspect of animal testing that I'm totally against is the cosmetic industry. That I am totally against, and I think that is actually wrong. But for medical purposes, for medicine, for developing new drugs, new vaccines, new surgical techniques, what should we do? Ask for volunteers and say, oh, yes, we want to test something and we'd like you to be a volunteer. You want to be a volunteer? And George, we'll call him George, says, oh, yes, what a very good idea. And I make a little bit of money, but you may die. Oh, that's okay. I'm going to donate my body to you and you can do whatever you want with it. Now, of course, that isn't going to happen. There are techniques right now, for example, PETA and other welfare activists are totally against. There are people that go in for bypass surgeries, and it was discovered a number of years ago that you can actually use a pig's valve to replace the human one because they are very similar, and people have survived and do survive with pig valves in them. So what should we do? Just tell these people, no, we can't do it? There are, of course, new technologies that have come along that make the valves out of artificial materials, but the chances of rejection from the human body are far greater than those of a pig's valve. The thing is, these people don't put anything in perspective. I don't think there's one person out there right now listening who is against animal cruelty or for animal cruelty. I think most people on this planet are against it. But we have to put things in perspective. Perspective, perspective, perspective. But apparently that just isn't done. I mean, that's the thing about this social justice kind of movement, which I would put that under at the same time. They are bonkers. They're very hypocritical. And when you ask them a very direct question, it's like, okay, what's your solution? Like I said at the beginning, their solution is, oh, we don't have a solution, but that's not our job. Really. So if you're going to stop something, think of an alternative already. But they won't debate that even. They just say, well, that's not our job to think of it. We just want to stop it. You see, this is how stupid these people are. Complete bonkers. Now, I would suspect if you take these vegans or anybody from PETA or many, not all, but many of these animal rights welfare type lunatics. And if they had to go to hospital, would they turn down a vaccine or medicine that was tested on animals? Would they say, no, I can't have that pig part in me right now, that valve. No, you cannot use a pig valve. Would they say that? I doubt it. I seriously doubt it because they are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. If you look up the word hypocrite in a dictionary, you would find their pictures. They're the biggest hypocrites on the planet. They're liars and they're doing it for their own self-promotion. These people love self-promotion. Ingrid Newkirk, she is a lying bitch. A lying bitch and is just the biggest self-promoter on the face of the planet. And she's doing it for her own benefit, not for the benefit of the animals. As we heard, and you can even go Google this and look for yourself, the amount of animals that PETA actually puts down. It's not for protecting the animals. No, it's for raising money and getting money. Now, this leads us to another aspect of this kind of thing. In many ways, you can say veganism. Now, I should mention before I continue, this is, of course, not everybody. There's people that make the choice to become a vegan for other reasons, for whatever reason. Either they don't like the taste of meat or whatever. But there are many, just like environmentalists, that follow it as if it's a religion. And that's exactly what it is. It is a kind of religion. Now, people will dispute that fact, but that actually is the case. It's like, for example, going off into a slightly different direction for one moment. Communism, if you look at the past, so the Soviet Union, East Germany, or even countries that exist today, China, North Korea, communism is a kind of religion. It is a religion. They say, well, they don't believe in God. Well, no, they don't believe in God, but they believed in a man who had higher powers. What do you think that is? But that's for another program in itself. It's the same with PETA and many other of these animal welfare organizations. The thing is, you have animal welfare organizations that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. For example, the RSPCA, which is an organization in the UK. In Canada, it's called the SPCA, and they also have other chapters around the world. Their job, of course, is saving animals, finding new homes for them. That's what their main goal is. Do they have to put some down? Yes, they do. They have to. Otherwise, they would be stockpiling so many dogs and cats, they wouldn't know what to do with it, and because of the lack of funds, it has become increasingly more difficult. But PETA's reaction is just, oh, we'll just put them down, better for them, and then ask for money, and then do campaigns equaling the putting down of animals and cattle with victims at Auschwitz. Absolutely disgusting. Like was pointed out in one of the clips that we had before, what does scantily clad women and throwing vegetables around have to do with bringing awareness to it? You see, they're very good at putting out propaganda. It's sort of like, you know, it's almost like they took a page out of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda book, because it's exactly the same. The message, of course, is different, but they're using the same style of propaganda. Now, Joseph Goebbels and, of course, the Nazis are nothing like these organizations, and there should be no comparisons made at all between any of these people. Ingrid Newkirk is not a Hitler. But the way propaganda is used, very similar indeed. If you go back and look at early Nazi propaganda films from the 30s and then the later ones from the 1940s, and put them in that context, and then look at some of the propaganda that PETA puts out and other animal welfare organizations, or they claim to be for animal welfare, and put them side by side, you will see one similar thing. The style of propaganda is exactly the same, but they always deny it. They always deny it. They are hypocrites. Now, if they just admitted to the fact that, you know what, yes, we're doing it for our own self-interest and we are hypocrites, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But they lie and lie and lie. Ingrid Newkirk was recently at a speaking engagement in the Canadian city of Toronto in Canada. Now, what was interesting, of course, is when she entered the room, this is what it was like. Actually, no, not exactly. That actually was a clip from the Nuremberg rally. But you can get the idea of what I'm trying to get across here. Organizations like PETA are hypocritical beyond belief. Completely. And they have to be stopped. They have to be stopped. Like I said, they never speak out against violence, against people in the farming industry. They use distorted facts. Now, a few years ago, you may remember a video that was surfacing on social media about how McDonald's makes their chicken McNuggets, and it looked like this pink slime, right? Well, even though PETA wasn't directly involved, they were involved in spreading that message. And it turned out to be a complete hoax. Now, as I have said before, many times, these people love distorting the facts. They're liars. They are complete liars. They're never forthright, and they always like using the what about argument. An argument, of course, that we have seen many other people use. Now, some of you listening right now will say, Keith, what are you against the ethical treatment of animals? Actually, no, I am for it. I am very pro-animal, but we have to put things in perspective. Perspective is something, of course, well, that doesn't exist anymore. Shall we look up what the word perspective means? Because I honestly feel that these people don't know what it means, okay? Perspective, well, it's a kind of thought. For example, a particular way of considering something, right? Some examples would be her attitude lends to a fresh perspective to the subject. Because of its geographical position, Germany's perspective on the situation in Russia is very different from Washington's. These, by the way, are from the Cambridge Dictionary. Now, keeping something in perspective, okay? Or to get something in perspective. To think about a situation or problem in a wise and reasonable way. Or I think in this case, unreasonable way with these people. Now, an example of how you can use the words that I was just mentioning, the word perspective. You must keep things in perspective. The overall situation isn't really that bad. But I don't think they understand that. Or to compare something to other things so that it can be accurately and fairly judged. You see, these people are not very good at fairly judging things. So, for example, an example of how to use to put something in perspective would be, as per the Cambridge Dictionary, total investments for this year reached $53 million. And to put this into perspective, investments this year were doubled those made in 2013. More examples of how to use perspective in the way, and this way would be, I'd like to get someone else's perspective on this. You're approaching the problem from a completely different perspective. In a few years, he might have a different perspective. Why don't you think of this from a child's perspective? When mom died, it gave the whole new perspective on life. That's how you use perspective. But the problem is, you see, they don't use it because I don't think they know what it means. Or I have actually heard them come up with a new definition to things. I mean, we've seen this happen before when you have those on the right and the left who come up with a different perspective of words that only suits them. Or, in other words, cherry picking. You know what that means, right? For example, you see this actually happen quite a bit when scientific reports come out. You could have one group on the left that will only cherry pick certain aspects of the report because it supports their message. But they don't put the whole thing into perspective and show that that's actually not what's being said. PETA and many of these animal welfare activists love doing exactly just that. They don't put anything into perspective. They only put it into perspective, well, I should say, their definition of perspective. They're fruitcakes and loonies. I think I've used that term on the program before. Fruitcakes and loonies. Yes, that's exactly what they are. Now, the only thing I could say right now is that, yes, if there's an animal shelter in your neighborhood, you know, do make a donation to them because they need the money. But keep away from PETA or any other radical and very far left animal welfare organization who don't put things into perspective, just like environmentalists. And environmentalists, we're going to be touching on another program. Now, I say it again, because sometimes messages fall on deaf ears. Some people listening right now will say, Keith, you're against any type of animal welfare just because of this program. That is complete BS. I do support, even through volunteering, which I do, and making financial donations, a number of animal welfare organizations. I can even name some right now. Animals Taiwan is one. The Taiwan chapter of the SPCA. Paws Taichung are just three. I don't volunteer every weekend, but at least once a month I will go to one and help them with their dogs and their cats. Now, that's one thing, because I'm actually doing something. But when you have these people with their big fat bums sitting on the internet sharing this nonsense from organizations like PETA and others, I really wonder, are they doing something? No, they're not. They're not doing anything. It's a great form of slacktivism. You know what slacktivism is. There are those who will take up an activist cause and actually get involved, and those who sit around doing nothing. And then you have those who are completely misguided and brainwashed by organizations like PETA, who support them unwillingly without knowing any of the facts and without putting anything in perspective. These people are nuts, and they have to be stopped. The question is, will they be stopped? Probably not. You know why? These organizations get big tax breaks, get huge donations, but people are finally waking up to the lies and propaganda that they put out. So hopefully one day, those Ingrid Newkirks of the world will fall from grace. And hopefully a disgrace grace. Disgusting woman. Disgusting people. And by the way, don't send any misogynists like, you're being misogynist. No, if it was a man, I would say exactly the same thing, all right? Now, next time on Common Sense Political Correctness, what is our topic going to be? Well, there may have been clues in today's program. So, maybe you already know what it is. If you don't, well, you'll just have to tune in. We're going to end today with a song that I recorded a number of years ago for Japanese television. It's the song Talk to the Animals from the musical Dr. Dolittle. So on behalf of everyone that helped research and put this program together, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting to a chimp in chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah, what a neat achievement it would be. If I could talk to the animals, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python. I would curse, yes, in fluent kangaroo. If people ask me, can I speak rhinoceros? I'd say, of course it is, but can you? If I conferred with our furry friends, man to animal, think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they would squeak and squawk and grunt and speak to me. If I spoke slang to orangutans, the advantages any fool on earth can plainly see. Discussing Eastern art and dramas with intellectual llamas, that's a big step forward, you'll agree. I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle. My Pekingese would be extremely good. If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus, I'd say whatotamus, and I would. If I could parlay with padroderms, it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen and Grimm. A man who walks with the animals, talks with the animals, grunts and squeaks and squawks with the animals, and they would squeak and squawk and talk to me. I don't know about you, but I think this would be the perfect time to have the animals themselves sing the remainder of the song. All right, guys, are you ready? Take it away. It's over to you.